ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more. Why do humans hold on to stuff? Oddments we don't use, and yet can't quite throw out. It's not just you and me. Australia's oldest library is crammed with stuff that isn't books. Terrible paintings, old menus, human hair. Is this history or hoarding? I'm Annabelle Crabb. Come and have a rummage through the story of us told by our stuff. Search for the History or Hoarding podcast on ABC Listen or wherever you get your podcasts.
As a nation of travellers, the Iran war has created huge uncertainty over whether we can still go ahead with our holidays, whether the airlines are likely to cancel our flights, and how much more flying is going to cost us. Today, aviation expert Ian Douglas on where things currently stand and what to expect if the war doesn't end soon. I'm Sam Hawley on Gadigal Land in Sydney. This is ABC News Daily. Ian, we spoke about a month ago and, well, we didn't know then how long this war would last. But even then, the Gulf Airlines were experiencing severe flight disruptions.
Dubai's international airport, which is the world's largest for international travel, has suspended all flights until further notice. Emirates and Fly Dubai have temporarily halted operations.
Qatar Airways has suspended all flights from Doha. British Airways has cancelled flights to Tel Aviv, Bahrain and Amman.
So tell me now, what are we seeing in terms of those flights?
Those flights are coming back a little bit. They're not back to the full schedule they were flying before, but the Gulf carriers are again flying into their hub airports in Doha and Dubai and Abu Dhabi and connecting passengers through.
Yeah.
I've been tracking some of them, not just out of Australia, but out of Asia as well. And some of the pricing has been quite aggressive to get customers back again.
So I guess what people want to know as well is, looking ahead, would it be okay now to book with these airlines, these Gulf carriers, or is it better just at the moment to avoid them?
I think it's reasonable to book on them. In fact, my partner has booked a flight to Europe on one of the Gulf carriers. So
right.
This household has already said, yes, we think it's reliable enough to go ahead.
I mean, just explain for me how these Gulf airlines have managed to keep things pretty stable given the uncertainty in the region and this war still underway.
They don't have an option.
Mm.
They had to find a solution. They're major businesses. There's a massive investment in aircraft, massive investment in relationships as well. So it wasn't an option. It was find the solution, get the aircraft back in the air, get people moving to where they need to be and rebuild the reputations and start now.
But that solution, you're talking about, that's safe for passengers, right?
Yeah, I mean, nobody will operate a commercial passenger aircraft unsafely. It's just the nature of the industry is that you are way safer on a plane than in a taxi going to the airport.
We are a nation of travellers, of course, and around the middle of the year, June, July, many of us do like to pop on a plane and head to Europe or elsewhere. Why don't we just consider that a bit more, what it all means for availability, for price, for getting where you want to go. Now, we know the cost of jet fuel has really soared, hasn't it? So that's having a big impact at the moment.
Yeah, particularly it's gone up even more in Asia than it has in other parts of the world. So the price of jet fuel has more than doubled in some places. The problem with that, several problems with that. One is that fuel makes up such a major part of the total cost of operating an aircraft. And when you double the fuel cost, that cost comes immediately, even though you may have sold tickets to somebody weeks or even months ago when the cost of operation was much lower. So the airlines are at this point still carrying people who bought tickets earlier and at the same time are already paying out much higher fuel prices. And it will have made some operations that were previously profitable marginal, some that were previously marginal unprofitable, and that will start to reflect in schedules and what's available to buy.
And also for flights that haven't been booked yet or paid for yet, I presume the cost will be significantly higher.
We were giving some advice to friends recently. Should we book now or book later? And my advice is usually, you know, if you see an airfare you like, book now. Something they had been looking at I think $5,000 turned up at $8,000.
Wow.
By the time they decided they really wanted to book, because the prices had gone up, the demand had filtered onto fewer flights, and the pricing had reflected that.
Well, the International Energy Agency's Fatty Birrell, he has said that more flight cancellations are possible. And in Europe, there's only 6 weeks or so of jet fuel left.
If we are not able to open the Strait of Hormuz, I can tell you soon we will hear the news that some of the flights might be cancelled as a result of lack of jet fuel.
That does sound rather concerning.
It does, and in preparing to talk to you, I had a look at some of the other feedback. Not all of it is quite that dire, and the Europeans do have a process for sharing fuel around to make sure that one hub airport doesn't suddenly run out.
Mm.
But there have definitely been cancellations. Lufthansa in Germany announced yesterday about 20,000 flight cancellations over the upcoming European summer. Most of them short-haul flights within Europe, some of them flights that had become unprofitable at the high fuel prices.
So, Ian, that's what's happening in the global aviation industry, but why don't we look domestically? Now, Qantas and Virgin have already reduced capacity on some routes. So what are we seeing?
Yeah, Qantas announced a 5% reduction, Virgin a smaller reduction.
As the price of fuel soars, Australia's biggest airline is cutting 5% of its flights, including at its budget brand Jetstar. All Qantas flights between Melbourne and Hamilton Island and Coffs Harbour are being temporarily cut, while Jetstar flights from Sydney to Busselton and Darwin to the Gold Coast are halted as well.
And some of that can come out of city pairs like Melbourne, Sydney, Sydney, Brisbane. You almost wouldn't notice it. There's so much frequency on some of those routes. Mm-hmm. If a few flights were taken out, it would be almost invisible to the consumer. And when the airfares have gone up to reflect the higher fuel price, that will already suppress demand a little bit. So I don't see it having much of an impact on the major routes in Australia. It becomes more impactful on thinner markets where it may no longer be commercially viable to operate some regional services. And we saw that, for example, on Mount Gambier.
Yes, okay, so the flights to Mount Gambier by Qantas, they've been cut altogether. So it's really regional communities that could be hardest hit. The South Australian Premier, Peter Malinauskas, he has really expressed disappointment about this to Qantas directly.
Look, this is an entirely commercial decision by Qantas. I think it's disappointing, clearly. I understand the reasons for it, but what I would say is that I'm very grateful that we have had a government intervention in the case of Rex Airlines to make sure that Mount Gambier continues to be served by that carrier, which is the dominant carrier to the southeast of our state.
It is of concern for regional people.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's something we've been watching all year, really, with the problems that Rex has had, that there are parts of Australia that are absolutely reliant on air service. But if you look at the Australian market, which is quite a large one, 30% of it is just on Melbourne, Sydney, Sydney, Brisbane or Melbourne, Brisbane.
Mm.
Half of it is taken up if you just add Adelaide and Perth into that mix. And then there are large numbers of much smaller city pairs, so much more vulnerable where there's perhaps a daily flight or three or four flights a week that might now become uneconomic when the fuel price doubles.
Mm. Well, Jetstar, it has also announced it will reduce flights between Australia and New Zealand. That's also due to this rising fuel cost. So, it is having an impact, that's for sure.
Yeah, and it will be impacting demand as well, because as the airfares have gone up to reflect the fuel cost, it will change people's travel patterns a little bit. So I'd expect to see lower demand, and as a consequence of the lower demand, a cut back in flying in any case.
All right, well, a cynic might wonder, Ian, if the airlines are sort of using this as an excuse to cut the routes that aren't so profitable for them, because the Energy Minister, Chris Bowen, he has actually said that we've got 30 days of jet fuel in reserve, so there is no shortage at the moment.
I'm not sure I'd call it an excuse rather than a reason, but given that the price of fuel makes up such a large part of the total cost, there will be some markets that were profitable before that now aren't. But if you're covering the direct operating costs, you might hang in there and wait for things to improve. There'll be other markets that were really marginal before that perhaps you were hoping would produce over time some improvement, that have become so uneconomic that you would effectively be paying customers to fly, that you'd be spending more than on just fuel and the crew than the total airfares on board. In that case, it would not make sense to keep flying in some markets.
All right. I did notice also, interestingly, Ian, that Virgin and Qantas have actually launched these big sales on some airfares. So, I mean, why is that, given the fuel cost is so high?
Yeah, even though the cost of fuel has gone up, there will be days of the week, times of the day, that are relatively unattractive, but the aircraft, you know, needs to fly from Sydney to Melbourne at 6 o'clock in the morning to be in Melbourne to operate a prime time business flight back at 7:30 or 8 o'clock in the morning. So in that situation, you will still price more aggressively on less attractive flight times and put sales in that will, you know, be focused perhaps more on, you know, Tuesday afternoon or Thursday morning, which is much less attractive for business travel. So the market's behaving normally, just reflecting the cost of fuel in the average fares that are out there.
All right, well, Ian, let's return to whether it's safe to book our big middle-of-the-year trip, which, of course, many people would have already done. But what are the chances at this point that that could be cancelled, it could be delayed, you might maybe lose your money, not be able to go? It's all very uncertain because we have a ceasefire now, of course, and we have jet fuel. But that could all change, couldn't it?
Yeah, I guess it's very hard to predict what's coming next. It changes day by day, week by week. But there is fuel still coming from other sources. I mean, the Gulf certainly produces a significant amount of fuel, but it is not 100% of the global fuel supply. So there is fuel. Part of the problem, of course, is if you fly out with an aircraft that has a full tank of fuel, it burns that on the way. It needs to be able to fuel up at the destination point to come back. But the Europeans have at least 6 weeks, but probably more. And there is fuel coming out of the US and other sources. So I'd say at the moment there is a reasonably, you know, good chance that long-haul flights will operate pretty much as planned. And particularly in Europe, that most of the cancellations appear to be on short-haul flights. And most of the damage in the industry appears to be low-cost carriers and short-haul operations as well. Ryanair had already cut back some flying. EasyJet is now cutting back as well, looking at quite serious profit impacts from the increasing fuel prices. If we went to the US, Spirit Airlines, another low-cost carrier, on the edge of bankruptcy. So I think it's the low-cost short-haul flying that's actually most at risk.
Well, the surging fuel prices, they are hitting the bottom line for Australian airlines, that's for sure.
Virgin is facing a $30 to $40 million blowout in fuel prices in the second half of this year. Qantas, a much bigger operation, is staring at an $800 million fuel price hike by the end of June.
But the big ones, the big airlines all around the world, they will ride this out, won't they?
Yeah, and the big ones in the Gulf will ride it out with their government parents, and the large carriers like Qantas will certainly ride it out as well. Yeah, there are some carriers, particularly in Vietnam, for example, they've found themselves very short of fuel. The carriers in that market are struggling consequently. Other places seem to be less so. But yeah, it's going to be a difficult period. And it looks a little bit like the problems of COVID, that it hit pretty hard and it will take quite a while to recover and get back to normal afterwards.
So tell me then, how long will it take to get back to normal? And should we get used to higher fares for a while to come?
I think we need to get used to higher fares for a while to come, because even if everything stopped tomorrow, that the war stopped, that everybody started moving fuel around again, it's definitely going to take time to get stocks back into refineries and delivered to airports. Even in the best case, where the war stops almost immediately, we are probably months before the whole aviation sector has settled down, that the fuel supplies are back to normal, that the traffic is back to normal, and aircraft are operating back at the sort of fares we saw before the war.
Ian Douglas is an honorary senior lecturer in aviation at the University of New South Wales. This episode was produced by Sydney Peed. Audio production by Sam Dunn. Our supervising producer is David Cody. I'm Sam Hawley. ABC News Daily. We'll be back again on Monday. Thanks for listening.